Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is a guest host, Dr. Tom Farrell, who is an evangelist and certainly ministering to the church now. How long have you been doing this, Tom?
Well, full-time evangelism, Doc. This is 27 years.
27 years. Before that, you worked at a Christian camp called the Wilds.
Sure did.
In North Carolina.
Had a wonderful time there. 1974, we began full-time, my wife and I. From 74 to 79, we stayed right there. Of course, we did some weekend meetings, youth rallies and churches and things of that nature. Dr. Ken Hay, founder director, our dear friend, asked us to start an evangelistic team. And so from 79 to 90, we crisscrossed the nation and also outside the United States. And then in 1990, God led in our lives to resign. We have a wonderful relationship. It's my privilege to still serve on the board. In fact,
you do several weeks of summer there, don't you?
Well, I think somehow they think I still work for them. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to correct them. I really
enjoy
my relationship.
Yeah, well, it's a great place. It's a great place.
Then we, from 90 to 92, we lived in our trailer with our kids, just crisscrossing the United States, preaching the gospel in 1992. As you know, we moved to Kansas City, Missouri, to the Tri-City Baptist Church. And by 1995, Dr. Carl Herbster and I had the privilege of starting Heart of America Seminary, which has been going into our 11th year now, and we're running all over sharing the gospel, and then December and January have a time to go home and train men for ministry.
Mm-hmm. So you don't let any grass grow under your feet?
Try not to.
Well, you've got a wonderful family, and I know the Lord's used you in great ways. Tom, you and I were having an interesting discussion in our last broadcast, and I want to kind of pick that up where we left off. We are talking about the will of God, and we are following a series of broadcasts on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I know you weren't part of those broadcasts, but most of our listeners will know what went on in those broadcasts. And we can get those of you interested can pick those up on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. And certainly would encourage you to do that. But we're following up, Tom, because you have spent a great deal of time thinking about and preaching and helping people with the will of God in their life. And we got into a little discussion in our last broadcast about the idea that the will of God is a kind of general thing that we can just kind of land on. And as long as we don't go outside certain moral bounds, if we pick option A and option B, and both being good moral objects or good moral things, and there's nothing prohibited in Scripture about them, then we can assure ourselves that we've landed on the will of God. Now, I take a different view. Personally, I believe God has a specific will for each believer, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and counsel from godly people, particularly authorities God has put in your life, and providential leading and circumstances all work together to bring a person to that place of knowing and proving what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's not an easy process, but it is certainly something that I hold as what the Scripture teaches. And I know you and I were talking about that, and you made mention of the teaching of a good Christian brother named Gary Friesen, I believe, who wrote a book, Decision Making in the Will of God, a number of years ago, and I think it's just been republished and reprinted. And certainly want to be kind and charitable to him as a Christian brother. And but at the same time, I know I take issue with what he's taught in that book, and I'm curious as to why you do.
Well, I think you and I would both agree, and if Brother Friesen were in the studio with us, I'm sure that he would agree that there is a general will of God. For instance, there's a will of God for every man called salvation. It's 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
You may be on the listening in, and you need to understand God loves you and wants you saved. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3, 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so most every believer who understands his Bible knows there's some general things that God wants for every human being.
Salvation, sanctification,
for
moral purity.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. God wants us to pray, mm-hmm. Luke 18, 1. He wants us to be a witness, Acts chapter mm-hmm. 1 and verse 8.
Giving in 2 Corinthians
sure.
8, et cetera.
Sure.
Soul winning.
There are many things that we can all agree on that would be the general will of God for every believer.
Sure.
But, you know, God has handpicked you to be a pastor, and yet he's called me to be an evangelist. And if we did not believe that this was the specific will of God for our lives, we would be very frustrated, one, and we would be looking, two, and we'd be questioning, and anybody that came to us, we'd say, well, you know, just choose whatever you want.
See, now, if I understand the concept of the book, if I had a choice between being a pastor, a college administrator, a camp director, or an evangelist, those are all good and acceptable callings, and basically I could kind of pick whichever one I felt most affinity for, and I would invest my life and be doing the will of God.
That's my understanding as well. One of the reasons I do not agree with that is, again, the last broadcast we had was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct, and Brother Horn, this is an important one, he shall direct thy paths. In all ways we're to acknowledge him. Would that mean that we should acknowledge him when it comes to where we're going to school and where we go to church and where we're going to live and who we're going to marry and all these kind of things? I'm completely convinced of that. Another thing I'm convinced of is as Jesus is praying what we call his high priestly prayer in John 17:4, in a verse that I go back to often, we read these words in John 17:4, I've glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, you know, Brother Horn, Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh. Had he desired to, he could have healed every leper, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Had he wanted to, he could have shut down the Roman Empire, but he didn't. But as he comes to the end of his life, he is completely convinced of this. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. My greatest desire in life, and I've told young people, moms and dads, senior citizens, and my pastor friends, I want to come to the end of life, whether by rapture or death, and know that I finished the will of God for my life. Now, the will of God for my life was not to come to Northland Baptist Bible College as you did and to spend 10 years right here on this campus. And the will of God for my life was not to then move to Brookside Baptist Church and be a pastor. That was not the will of God for my life. The will of God for my life was to move to an organization called The Wilds and from there out into full-time evangelism and then to Tri-City Baptist Church and to help start those kind of things. Now, was I just dreaming? Did I just kind of choose this? And God said, well, whatever you want. I don't believe that. I don't believe that anymore, and I believe I can fly. I believe that God Almighty had a specific plan, and I think you can see that in some of the dashlights and decision-making that Almighty God gives to us mm-hmm. when we go to make those decisions.
Why is it that people buy into this thought? I mean, why is it that people buy into the general will of God for everything?
Well, it can be pretty comfortable. I mean, as long as you are not supposedly violating an obvious scripture, then go for it. The problem is with some of that, a man may want for his own life what God doesn't want for him. For instance, if we understand the Apostle Paul in Acts 16, he essayed to go to Bithynia. Now, he could have simply said, you know, this is what I want to do, and I'm a missionary, and I'm going to go preach, and I'm going to Bithynia, and it's got to be the will of God. But the Spirit hindered him. Truth of the matter is, he never went to Bithynia. Peter went, but he never went. In the meantime, there's that vision of Macedonia. Come over and help us. Could Paul not just go where he wanted to go? How is it that God Almighty moved Philip, as we talked on one of the broadcasts, from Samaria out to Gaza? Was he hallucinating? Was he just, you know, supposed to buzz on out there and say, you know, I guess I'm out here for soul winning adventure. I hope somebody will come on by. No, God Almighty not only led him to Gaza, but straight to the chariot, to the man who'd been desiring to know God and reading Isaiah.
Well, you see that all the way through Peter's life with the vision in Acts 10 and 11.
Go to see Cornelius.
You know, one interesting thing is the Apostle Paul, his passion, his burden, if you'd asked him, Paul, who do you want to reach? He said in Romans that his heart's desire was that his brethren, the Jews, come to know Christ, and he was willing to be blotted out of the book of life for it to happen.
Well, he went down fighting when he went to see Cornelius, and he said, now, wait a minute, Lord, you know, I'm not sure I'm getting all this straight here.
Every single time Paul tried to reach the Jews, God shut the door. I mean, when he went and preached to Jews, he got arrested, he got thrown in prison. But when he went to Gentile cities, which is where God appointed him to go, there was an unbelievable movement of God. And, I mean, churches sprung up in places. He gets arrested in Philippi, and a church happens. He gets thrown out of Berea, and a church happens there. He goes to Thessalonica, and a church happens there. He goes to Jerusalem, and he gets thrown in jail, and he gets accused by the Judaizers. He's mistrusted by the Christians there, the Jewish Christians. So, I mean, I look at some of these things and just see very, very specific directions of God and very, very specific answers to prayers and very specific denials to certain desires that Paul had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To me, I rejoice in the fact that before I ever breathed air, God had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
God has a plan for every human being. Some of his plan we can all get in on. But the truth of the matter is, I have some doctor friends that are in the will of God as physicians who will never one day step in a pulpit and preach the Word of God like you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in the will of God for
and
their
I
life.
I better not pick to be a doctor.
Oh, my. You don't want to come see me.
Yeah,
could be dangerous.
I want to be a doctor. That would be kind of cool. From time to time, just, hey, come see me. I got something I want to shoot at you. Oh, listen, you have a sermon that you preach on the will of God. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Sure, I'd love to. I call it the greatest place on earth, in the will of God. We said in one of the previous broadcasts that the greatest place on earth is not necessarily a location, but a vocation. It's not as much a place as the person and work of God in your life. And I believe that God has a wonderful reason for knowing the will of God, and they're twofold. First, it's for God's glory. God made you for his glory. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. When we talk about 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, we understand that word glory roots itself in the word opinion. We were made, we were custom designed by God to give the right opinion of who he is in every area of our lives. So it's for his glory, but it's also for our good. Boy, I just delight. I grieve over people that just fumble around in darkness and live carnally and backslide and try to run to the things of the world. Somebody said, Farrell, are you happy? Well, if I'm not happy, don't wake me up. It's the best dream I've ever had. Enjoying doing what God designed me to do before I ever breathed air. And Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. 34:10, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Teenagers and moms and dads, I give Psalm 84:11 all the time. If I could only give one verse, it would probably be this to a Christian. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed, it's in the plural, happy is the man who trusteth in thee.
We will have to meet next time on it because our time is all the way gone. For those of you listening, if you would like a copy of today's broadcast, you can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and we will have this broadcast posted almost immediately after it airs. Until then, may the Lord bless you.